I'm pleased to introduce our first panel on recent developments. You heard a great introduction by Dean Smith of Professor Westbrook. Joining him on this panel is Bernie Bass. Since 1972, Bernie Bass has been in private practice in Lubbock, Texas. He's been the chair of many conferences, just to name a few. He's been the chair of this conference, the chair of the Farm, Ranch, and Agribusiness Bankruptcy Conference in Lubbock, and chair of the bankruptcy section of the State Bar of Texas. He's served on this panel for many years, and we are glad to have him back with us again. Next to him, we have Demetra Liggins. Demetra is a partner at McGuire Woods in Houston. She has nearly two decades of experience in business finance and restructuring for a variety of large and small public and private companies. She works on both in-court and out-of-court restructurings. When she's not busy practicing, she's giving back to the bar. She has served as past chair of this conference. She is also a frequent speaker on bankruptcy and finance-related topics, in addition to speaking on career goals, branding, and mentorship to minority and female audiences, ranging from professionals to law students. And finally, we have Bill Rochelle. Bill Rochelle, after a career in private practice and a stint at Bloomberg News, he joined the American Bankruptcy Institute in 2015 as its editor-at-large, writing every day on developments in consumer and reorganization law. Many of us enjoy waking up every morning to read Rochelle's Daily Wire, so it's fitting that we're here with him this morning. And with that, please join me in welcoming our first panel.
Again, thanks, Ashley, very much. I think we're going to start off. Oh, yeah. The professor, that's Rochelle, who gives me that every year. And, of course, without Rochelle's column, I don't know where any of us would be in terms of trying to keep up with bankruptcy law. So we're grateful for that, too, Bill. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm going to talk about executory contracts again. But I seem to be hung up on that. And it turns out that the courts really do cling to what I think of as the painful analysis, right? You work through this whole business with a Countryman test. And, of course, Vernon Countryman was a great scholar. Time to put that to one side, but nobody wants to do that because nobody knows what the consequences would be. So we had the painful analysis exemplified by the Thornhill case. In Thornhill, it was a very complicated Louisiana-type procedural thing, which I will not attempt to explain to you. But in any case, there was a business franchise. The debtor had a business franchise from anytime was the franchisor. There was a tort suit against the debtor. That's presumably the reason the debtor filed for bankruptcy. And the plaintiff had, of course, had joined the franchisor as well as in his tort suit. That case was dismissed in Louisiana. What happened was the debtor settled with the tortfeasor and signed off on an agreement that confessed judgment for $7 million. The debtor paid $1 million, but confessed judgment for $7 million and said, you know, go have at my franchisor. And the franchisor, needless to say, objected to that. And the question before the court, it's an amazing case. The bankruptcy court case got reviewed, but not the district court decision. Give me another hurricane. But in any event, the key point is this. Bill Rochelle has written about this case very well. But the key thing was that the assignment of the indemnity rights, according to the Fifth Circuit, was invalid because it was an attempt to assign a partial assignment of an executory contract. Well, no question. We all know you can't partially assign an executory contract. But the problem is that wasn't the issue at all. The issue was an unliquidated but pending tort case, which was entirely distinct from the contract, had nothing to do with assigning the contract. Nobody wanted the contract for that purpose. So that there was no reason why executory contract analysis had anything to do with this case. It was simply the assignment of an existing claim and should have been treated as such. The consequence is that, and if you think about it, for example, the creditor outside of bankruptcy could have garnished this claim with no problem whatsoever without garnishing the overall contract. So the court got to the wrong result because it went through the painful analysis, casting about for materiality and material breach.